what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Chapter 1. Jesus in the Purple City. For the past 2 decades, I've pastored in a purple city. Raleigh, North Carolina is technically in the Bible Belt, but we always say it's like the little hole in the Bible Belt where you put the buckle prong. So many people move here to work and study in our tech, education, and medical spaces that Raleigh, Durham, and the surrounding Metroplex do not feel like your typical Bible Belt red state cities. The church I pastor tries to stay out of most partisan issues unless they involve issues of clear biblical morality. We want to be faithful to teach all that the Bible teaches, but we also know that if we get labeled the Republican Church or the Democrat Church, we will immediately lose access to 50% of our mission field. Our typical approach, therefore, is to teach what the Bible teaches as clearly as we can and let members connect the dots regarding which particular policies and candidates best support that biblical idea. For the past 2 decades, we've managed that tension pretty well, but for a couple of notable and important exceptions. A few years ago, our community was considering adopting a measure that would have sweeping ramifications on parents' control over the extent of sexual and gender indoctrination their kids received in public schools. Not only did this measure undermine what we believe to be God's created order for gender and sexuality, it also would have removed protections we believe families are entitled to. As you'd expect, emotions around the issue ran high. After a lot of prayer and examination, our directional elder team believed this was a situation where we needed to connect the dots for our members, especially given the amount of misinformation out there and the importance of the measure for the long-term health of our city. So I put out a video explaining what was being voted on, and I urged our members to reject the measure. It went over in our community like a barbecue at a bar mitzvah. Not in our church. Our church members appreciated the clarity. A few media outlets in our community, however, picked up on what I had said and published it. I got the expected spate of angry emails and phone calls, but then one afternoon, a box got dropped off on the front porch of my home. The box was filled with tragic stories of gay people who had committed suicide, implying that I was responsible. The situation was quite unnerving for me and my family. How did this person know where I lived? I had 4 kids under the age of 13 living in our home. Were they in danger? After a few days, I discovered that a popular professor at a nearby university had expressed her anger toward my public statements on her blog and posted an article that publicized my home address, what the kids today refer to as doxing. I'm assuming that's how they got my address. For what it's worth, I've never had second thoughts on preaching anything in the Bible, regardless of how controversial it seems. I'm not saying it has always been easy, but I understand that's the role of Christ's representatives to declare the whole counsel of God. But had I gone too far on this one in connecting the dots, naming candidates, and mobilizing our people for political action? Had my overt activism created unnecessary obstacles for the gospel? Maybe you think that even my asking these questions shows I don't understand how dire this moment is. Or maybe you'd say that if I'm going to be involved politically, I should start by marching against systemic racism or on behalf of the poor. Both perspectives raise valid questions that I've often asked myself. My guess, however, is that you found yourself asking similar questions as well. Maybe it wasn't about whether you should say something from the pulpit of your church because, well, you're not a pastor. It was whether you should post your thoughts about the president's speech last night on your Facebook wall, or put up a sign in your yard during election season, or express your concerns at your next book club meeting about the local school's new transgender swimming coach, or speak up at the next school board meeting. Or whether you should include your pronouns in your bio like everybody else at your company is doing, especially since your company has basically mandated it. After all, if you are a she/her, is it wrong to simply acknowledge that in your bio? Or is it okay to hang the rainbow flag in your shop window as every other business on your street does as a sign that gay people are welcome in your store? You don't want gay people to feel unwelcome, of course, so is displaying the pride flag a way to communicate that? If you don't hang the flag,